Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
This sermon was named, What If I Don't Feel Close to God? And it was named because I'm bad at naming sermons, so I think Amy named it because she's a genius. But all jokes aside, what if you don't, you know? You know, we come to church and, hey, brother, how you doing? Like, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored, brother. That's my best Southern. Was it even Southern? I don't even know. I'm sorry. Oh, man. But what if you don't feel that? You know, some days, I'm a pastor. I'm a worship leader. Some days I come to church, and I just don't feel it. You know, it's hard. It's hard raising four kids. It's hard making ends meet. It's hard being a husband. It's hard being a business owner. It's hard having to learn all these songs and sing them. It's hard to prepare the sermon. It's hard. It's hard to be in relationships with so many people. But it's worth it. It is so worth it. Let me tell you something about relationship. We live in a day and age where everything is theory. I can speak to a man right now and he'll tell me everything about football, but he can't run a lap. I can speak to people right now, they will tell me everything there is to know about music. They know chord progressions, and I say, hey brother, yeah, play something. Oh, I don't play. I just know all of that. We're in the day and age where we have access to an excess of information. We have so many theologians, so many people who know the word of God. They know it back and forth, in and out, but they can't love anyone. The Bible says a wise man wins souls. People will debate you. They'll talk to you about the Bible. But do you know him? All of us know of Donald Trump. We know of Kim Kardashian. And we might be able to tell you a lot about them because we know about them, you know? We know so much about them. But do we know them? Knowing about something doesn't mean you actually have a relationship with it. If I gave you a book right now, who in here could swim really well? Okay, I'll pick you then because you didn't put your hand up. If I gave you a book right now and it just taught you everything, the backstroke, it taught you how the breathing techniques and everything, you read it and you're like, yeah, I got this. And then I'm like, okay, we're going to go to the ocean and I'm going to throw you off the boat. You'd say, wait, no, but you know, you read the book, right? No, you start in the shallow waters. You start small. My babies right now, they're doing like an army crawl. Soon they're going to be crawling, then they're going to be walking, then they're going to be running. There's stages. But sometimes when we get around so many people, we almost skip the stages. And it doesn't do anything but hurt us. Sometimes we don't even know it. Sometimes we're around so many people who have such a holy vernacular. We're around so many people who have been doing this for so long that we're like, wait, I have to skip this. But let me tell you right now, you can't skip any of the stages. And if you did skip a stage, I don't care if you've been saved for 3 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 years, you gotta go back. Whatever stage that you might have skipped, you got to go back to it and you got to revisit it. Because Because that's the foundation of what we're doing. Church, I believe that the Lord is calling our city church to a higher standard in relationship with the Lord. He wants nothing more than to have a firm and constant relationship with you. But let me tell you right now, the world and everything in it is trying to pull you the other way. Everything you do, everything you see, everything that's presented to you, it's trying to pull you in the opposite direction. But let me tell you good news that the devil doesn't want you to know. You don't have to partake of the world. You don't have to be a part of the world. You can choose to say no. We choose by the relationships we choose to have, whether they be romantic, whether they be friends. Some of us say, oh, I've been doing this for 30 years. Man, I'm trying to find something that's, I've never heard something more stupid. I was trying to find a better way to say it, but I'm not that eloquent. I guess Paul said, don't come with eloquent words. Yeah, that's stupid. If you've been doing something for 30 years and it's not working, change it. If you've been doing something for 30 years and you still feel broken, change it. If you've been coming to church for 5 years and you still don't feel connected, get connected. Change. But everything around us is pulling us the other way. Everything around you. You know, if you open up my YouTube right now, you'll see worship music, guitars, and guns. Amen. First amen I got. Come on, man. Y'all violent. Y'all crazy in the South. But I want to tell you, the reason why it's like that is because these algorithms are so sophisticated. They will give you exactly what you are. So sometimes when you open up your YouTube, when you open up your Instagram, when you open up your Facebook, start looking at your feed. And if it's nasty, that might be a mirror, yo. Your phone is so good, it's even listening to what you say when you drive. You say, I feel like maybe I should go to Cancun. You open up your phone. We got a sale going to Cancun. Would you like to go? So sometimes when people say, hey, I just can't get out of the world. I don't know what to do. My job is killing me. These relationships are killing me. You chose your job. You chose your relationship. You chose. You choose what you see. So unchoose. Is that a word? You can put on in front of anything. I want to start. I'm going to start now. I haven't started yet. I want to start by just honoring my pastors because they love me and they take care of me. And I couldn't ask for better leaders than you guys. Not only did the Lord give me a church to go to and a church for my family to grow in, but I could truly say Pastor Rich is a friend of mine. And we sit and we talk and we cry and we laugh and we joke. Sometimes it's a little coarse. We got to chill out. But I appreciate it. Lord Jesus, I pray that the words that I say fall on hearts that are good ground. Lord, I pray that the hearts are soft in this room today. I pray that everything you want to do, you do. Everything you want to do in me, Lord, you do it. Anything you want to change, you change. Lord, we know that there's no sermon that can convince us to love a God that hung the stars on nothing and tells the waves where to stop and go no more. Who are we but small people coming together to give you glory? So right now, Father, I pray that nothing I say convinces anyone of anything. I pray that you convince them today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm gonna give you guys 3 steps on how to feel God more. Because I think sometimes it becomes more complicated than it actually is. And I think we're so good these days at making things complicated, almost like finding a problem for the solution. We're always looking for something to make it more complicated, but it's actually not. I'm gonna start with pure praise. That's the first thing I think you need to have a relationship with the Lord, to have a good, solid relationship with the Lord. We've been taught that praise is a song. We've been taught that praise is a melody. While it can be that, that's actually not what it is. Praise is a posture. We've been taught that praise is a genre. We've been taught that praise is this and worship is this, but it's not. Praise is your posture. Paige, one of the worship leaders here, she came to my house last week, and she said something along the lines of what Pastor Mindy said. She said, last week, I don't know, I just feel like I couldn't press in. But this is what she said next. Then she said, but whenever I feel like that, I tell the Lord, Lord, fix my eyes on you and you alone. You know what that tells me? That tells me that she's not praising from a place of her preferences. And I feel like sometimes that's what we do. We praise from a place of preference instead of a place of adoration. We're made, he said, if we don't cry out, the rocks will. You think he needs your praise? You praising him sometimes is more for you than it is for him. It takes your mind off all of your junk. It takes your mind off of everything that you have made so big that is so small. And it puts it on the one who can change it all. But now, let me backtrack a little bit. I believe that a lot of times when we do this, we're actually wired to be this way because we don't get what we need. Let me go on the word. So let's open up the word. My Bible, I always put my bills in my Bible. I open my Bible, my bills fall out. Oh, I gotta pay the water bill. Oh, praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. Let's start there. And we're gonna talk a little bit about this tragic love triangle that happened. Let me give you a little bit of context. So Jacob fell in love with this beautiful woman. I see her as like this like Disney princess type of lady. Cause the way they talk about her, he talks about Rachel and how majestic she is and how beautiful she is. So he fell in love with this woman, but then she had a sister named Leah, and the Bible says she was cross-eyed. It literally, I don't know if it says she was cross-eyed. It says she has like a lazy eye. I don't know. It says something weird. Like it says, there's something like something wrong with her eye. So the Bible paints this picture of this beautiful woman and this chick with a lazy eye. And then Jacob works 7 years to get Rachel because that was the deal. But after 7 years, he was fooled and given Leah instead. Catch this. Now, he wanted Rachel so badly that he decided, I'll work another 7 years to get her. Now I want you to think, Just from that one thing, which there's more, just from that one thing, how do you think Leah felt? How many times have you felt like you weren't getting what you needed from a parent, from a spouse, from an employer? Hold on to that. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he enabled her to have children. But Rachel could not conceive. Go to the next verse. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son named Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me." Let me just put a little Kesher in here. This is what we do all the time. The Lord will give us a blessing, and since our lens is so skewed, and our mind is so skewed, and we have so much trauma, and we've been messed up so much, that instead of seeing the blessing as a blessing, we look at what skewed us. She said, "The Lord blessed me. He gave me this son. I'm going to name him Reuben. And now my husband will love me." She didn't say, "Lord, thank you so much. Look at this beautiful baby you've given me." Go to the next verse. She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. She named him Simeon. For she said, "The Lord has heard that I was unloved." Here she goes again, victim mentality. So the Lord heard that I was unloved, and he gave me another son. Go to the next one. Then she became pregnant with a third time and gave birth to another son. He was named Levi. Surely, this means she's like, she's going for it again. Surely this time, like third time's the charm. Surely this time my husband will have affection for me. Let me tell you something about Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Reuben means hear me. Simeon means see me. And Levi means know me. So you know what this tells me? That Leah was giving birth out of a deficit. And when she gave birth, she named the things that she was being blessed with after her deficit. So let me tell you, my friends, this is very important. For you to have a relationship with the Father, you have to not do this. When you have a need, when you have a want, when you have a yearning, when you have a passion, you're gonna birth something. Something's going to be birthed. And you choose. Sometimes people have a deficit. They have a trauma. They have a pain. They have a hurt. And what do they birth? They birth a relationship with someone who has just as much trauma, just as much pain, just as much hurt. They birth an addiction that will leave them in more pain, more hurt, more trauma. They surround themselves with people who look just like them. They're birthing things. Some people even go to college. They're like, "I'm going to show that teacher that I'm not stupid. I'm going to prove to those people who thought I couldn't make it that I can make it." You're birthing something. But that's not what God wants you to do. Go to the next verse. The Bible says, "Once Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son, she named him Judah." Hallelujah. It's why I named my son Judah. "For she said, 'Now I will praise the Lord.'" I know you guys are like, you guys, I lost some of y'all attention span, but like 5 verses ago. You're like, "This dude's long-winded." I was getting somewhere. And it takes steps to get to a higher place. Okay? So I'm not going to not take steps because people don't want to. Yeah, all right. I'm going to take all the steps, okay? She said, "This time I'm going to name my son Judah." She gave birth to a praise. She said, Lord, I'm gonna praise you now. And this marked a different time in her life. This marked everything changed. The Bible even, the funny thing is she had more children. It changed so much. The Bible said she didn't have any more children. It changed. The chapter turned when she said, you know what? I'm gonna have this baby and I'm gonna stop looking at what Jacob doesn't give me and I'm gonna start looking at what you give me. And I'm gonna praise you. And you know what? Do you know what's so special about Judah? He wasn't perfect. Dude was jacked up, okay? That's another sermon. But from that imperfect child, that imperfect person, came the Savior that we worship today. That beautiful moment in the Old Testament. This is the beginning of the lineage of Jesus. The Bible says that he is from the tribe of Judah. This is where it comes from. And look at all the toiling it came from. The pressing. But before Jesus, someone else came from this tribe, and his name was David. We call him the psalmist. Everybody say the psalmist. I want to read something because I feel like it's that important, and we're going to read it. It's Psalm 63. Pull that up. I want you to just inhale these words, okay? I want you to inhale them. God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. Some versions even say, my soul is satisfied there. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. That's pure praise. I couldn't explain it any better. That's why I just read the Bible. If you want an example of pure praise, that's what it was. The funny thing is that I think we have pure praise for other things. We have pure praise for our spouses. We have pure praise for our children. We have pure praise for what we want. Sometimes we even have, how silly is this? We even have pure praise for ministry. But God is looking at us like, that ain't for me. That's for you. I truly believe if Louisville had a church where Paul was the pastor and David the psalmist was the worship pastor, most people wouldn't go there. They'd say, oh, David, he's talking about people coming to kill him. He's singing these weird songs. I can't follow along. Paul told me I'm dirty again. He told me to fix myself again. Why can't I just get some encouragement from this church? I'm going over there. But that's not us. That's the church. That's the other churches. Just so you know, that's not us. You develop a pure praise when you look at him above everything else. Like I said, in a world that's full of so many distractions, God is a bigger distraction from the distractions. That's how you develop a pure praise. When you say, Lord, yes, this is crazy, but I worship you anyway. You know what? I can't have a baby, but I worship you anyway. We're having another baby, I worship you anyway. I'm just kidding. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. I don't want any more babies, babe. It's hard. Anyway, let's go to the next topic. Beautiful room today. Something else you need is pure prayer. Everybody say pure prayer. This one's a little harder and it's a little meatier. That's why I put it in the middle. It's like a sandwich. Gave you like a bun, like some carbs. And then I put the meat in the middle. True love will produce a longing and a constant communication. Most of you have felt a new love where you meet someone, you're like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. I just want to talk to her all day. I just want to look at her all day. I just want to be with her all day. It's so weird. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to sleep. I don't want to do anything. All I want to do is be with her and get to know her and know what makes her tick and know what makes her go. I want to learn all her stories. I want to know what she went through in high school, in middle school. I want to know everything about her. You guys have been there, right? Oh, if you're a guy, switch it. If you're, well, that's another sermon too. But I feel like in church today, like sometimes we don't want to pray. Like we just, like we'll do anything else, but we don't want to pray. I know all of you probably had those couple friends in high school who they were just ride or die. They were just with you all the time. They were like you guys knew each other. You could finish each other's sentences. Let's say it's your birthday, hypothetically. And you go to high school and you tell the high school, I'm having a party tonight. We're gonna come to my house. My mom's gonna bake a cake and we're gonna have a good time. It's gonna be awesome. And we're gonna sit and maybe we'll watch a movie. Maybe we'll hang out like in the kitchen, like talk. We'll just have a good time. And you invite everyone in high school. You know who will come? Those two friends. Now let's say you go to the high school, you put it on the intercom. Hey, I'm having a birthday party. We're going to Dave and Buster's. You guys can have as much food as you want. There's as much games as you want to do. You can do whatever you want. It's going to be so much fun. You're all invited. The whole school will come. And the funny thing is, they'll come in your name. They'll come for your birthday. There might even be a banner with your name on it. And you know what the funny thing is? They'll even sing you a song. And they'll put your name in it. But are they there for you? What did you have to give them for them to come? How did you have to manipulate things for them to come? How did you have to make it so comfortable that they had to gain something for them to come? I see flyers. I've been on so many flyers. It was to the point where I didn't even want to be on a flyer anymore. Everybody's like, give me a picture for a flyer. I'm like, put Jesus on the flyer. I'm not saying that's all bad. But what I am saying is a high percentage, I think in the 90%, most of the people won't be there. If there wasn't the lights, if there wasn't the music, if there wasn't Brandon Lake, if there wasn't Hillsong United. If you were to make a flyer and say, we're all going to get together and we're just going to pray. We're just going to ask the Lord to heal our land. Put that verse up. And next verse. I'm going to tell you why the Lord doesn't. Oh, it's the wrong verse. I got to look it up. Oh, this is embarrassing.
steal our land verse.
Yeah, there's my pastor. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm not actually embarrassed. I hope you guys know your Bible better than me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal the land. So what if we just say that? Some of you guys are even bored with me right now. What if we just say that? We're just gonna come together and we're gonna pray that the Lord heals Louisville. It's Derby weekend. We're gonna come together, we're gonna pray that there's not sex trafficking this weekend. There's a big concert going on, there's crazy stuff going on. We're gonna pray that drunk drivers don't die tonight. People look at that, they'll be like, nah, I'm really busy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that he fell on them, tongues of fire over their heads, the sound of a rushing wind. You know why he did that? Because they were praying. They all got in a room together. They had no agenda, but one agenda. They had an agenda. It was pretty clear. He said, go and wait for me. And that's what they did. Lord knows how long they would have done it. You know why they could do it? It's because they knew him and they believed him. We read these verses, he will heal our land. Do we believe that? If we actually believe it and we actually know that he is who he says he is and he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do, we would come in here, get on our knees and say, Lord, heal our land. And I'm not even saying that it's gonna take hours and hours and hours. Charles Spurgeon said, a short prayer is long enough. Sometimes it'll take a long time. Sometimes it won't. But you gotta do it. The foundation of any relationship. I'm building relationships with so many people in here right now. I just met you guys like 3 months ago. Who feels like they've known me for way longer? Because I feel that about you guys. I feel it about you guys. You know why? Because we've been plowing. That's why. Because we're getting to know each other. We're getting down and dirty. We're working together. We're doing a bunch of stuff together. We're having conversations. Pastor Rich will say something to me, and you know what? I say something back. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. Pastor Mindy says something. I say, oh, this is how I feel about that. Oh, that's how you feel. Oh, awesome. And every conversation we have, we get to know each other more and more and more and more, and it builds more trust. Everything, because I know every time that they say they're gonna do something and they do it, now it's building that credit. Like Pastor Rich said, he'll do it. Yeah, I don't gotta worry about it. Because we're building something. What did that come from? Communication. In Genesis, He messed up all the communication because he said, if they continue to communicate, they can do anything. So what do you think the devil is gonna try to get in the middle of with you and Jesus? Your communication. He's gonna try to skew your view. Greg, you're not sleeping, are you? You weren't sleeping, are you? You weren't sleeping. Oh, you had your eyes closed. You were praying for me? Okay, thank you. Greg spent a lot of time in operative. I can't even say it. He's like a Secret Service agent. How important is communication, Greg? If you put it up there with anything, how important? Like, do you think it's like one of the most important things? Why? He said context. When you communicate constantly, you gather more and more and more and more information that you can then apply. Yeah. And when you don't get communication, when you don't know, you don't know where things are, you don't know what's happening, everything is chaos, you have no clue what's going on. And I believe that you can't be effective. And I know it's hard. I'm gonna say it, and I don't think it's gonna be my last time preaching. I think they like me, but I'm gonna say it. I believe if you don't have a prayer life, you can't have intimacy with the Lord. You can't have a true relationship with the Lord if you don't have a prayer life. You have to have it. And it has to go back and forth. What if I sat down with my wife and I just spoke and 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 spoke, and then I said, thank you, and then I left. Like when she's going to open her mouth and say something, I'm like, all right. How long would that relationship last? But why do we treat Jesus like this? Why do we treat Jesus like a coat that we can hang up and then take off when we're cold and put it on? Why do we treat him like Jehovah cough drop? When our throat gets a little scratchy, we just take him. We treat him like Jehovah car insurance. When we get into an accident, we open the glove box and we say, okay, let's make the call. We don't even know the number. We're like, where's the number? I got into an accident. I got a call. That's not the church he's coming back for, saints. That's not the church he's coming back for. I'm gonna stop beating a live horse. This is the last one, okay? We got pure praise. I hope y'all got that. We got pure prayer. We need those. We need praise and we need prayer. If we don't have praise and we don't have prayer, that's why you don't feel close to God. So if you're like, hey, why don't I feel close to God? You're not praising him and you're not talking to him. This last one, I'm not gonna beat you up as much. It's patience, pure patience. Y'all put that picture up of me and my wife, the first one, that one. Look at my wife. If you look closely, you could see my mom smiling in the mirror in the back. She's like, hey, look at that, she's smiling. I was about 15 and Amy was about 14. That was like 18 years ago, huh, babe? Something like that. You see me and Amy now. We've been through it all. Our relationship has crumbled and crashed and burned. We've dealt with, I'm not even gonna go into it. That's another sermon. I'm like the cliffhanger of the shows. You're like, I want more. No, not this time. Keep it up, man. What you doing? There you go. This is what it takes. It takes starting and staying. Paul said, he who is faithful to the finish. I'm not even finished yet. I might be doing good today. It's not about what I do today. It's not how I preach today or how I play today. It's how I finish with Our City Church. It's how I finish with my children. It's how I finish with my wife. It's not about today. But what I want to tell you, I want to encourage you actually, is that sometimes it's going to be hard to have a relationship with God. Sometimes you're not going to feel like it. Sometimes it's going to be like an argument. That dude, Jacob, I talked about, you can take it down now. Everybody's staring at my wife. Come on, man. Sometimes there's going to be a tussle. The Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God. And he said, I won't let go until you bless me. A man said that to God. The Bible says in Job chapter 38, Job was coming out the side of his neck. Do they say that? In New York, they say that. Are you coming out the side of your neck, man? Like, you crazy. Job was so disrespectful. He was arguing with God through his pain. And what did God do? He spoke back. He didn't smite him. He didn't hit him with a lightning bolt.
That's a relationship. You go back and forth. Some people say you can't leave God. It's like the unforgivable sin. Peter did it. The rock that built the church you're sitting in. There's back and forth in relationships. Do you know what's most important? That it keeps going. That after you're down, you're up. After you're up, you're down. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But just know, Amy, we'll do it together forever. Put that other one on. Forever. Forever ain't long enough. Forever. You can take it down now. Everybody, you take it down. I'm having too much fun with y'all family. You know, I know we're having a good time and everything's... I just want to say that you have to do it. Paul said, I come not to you with eloquent words. I know I can't convince you. I know there's nothing I can say. I know I'm charismatic, but there's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can scream. There's nothing I can do that's going to convince you. Only he can convince you. Please, please come back to your first love. Please. If you feel like you've gotten a little far, it's okay. Come back. The Bible says if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. It doesn't say that there's a certain distance that you can't draw near. Do you notice that? It doesn't say if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you, but as long as you didn't get this far. It doesn't say that. It says wherever you are, however far you've went, come back. I know because you're seated here right now that you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You've tasted it. You've seen it. You might have just gotten a little distracted. But church, today is the day to not be distracted anymore. Today is the day that we stop feeling like God is far away. But it's going to take giving him everything. Like Pastor Rich said, all in. We don't serve a 50% God. We don't serve a 75% God. We don't serve an 85% God. We don't serve a 99.9% God. And that's how I know that he won't have anything less than 100. He wants you, all of you. He knows everything about you anyway. He's just waiting for you to give it. He already knows. Some of us are like in the garden, like we're trying to hide. How can you hide from God? The worship team could come up. No more hiding today, saints. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.